Authority is not something that is respected at home, and it has permeated through the entire society. And what we're going to learn this morning and next week is Satan's behind this very one right here. Because there is a protection that comes from being under authority, and Satan knows it. And Satan wants to draw out our family from that authority so he can devour their life. And we have to recognize this is a tactic that Satan is using masterfully. And then we have to protect our homes and our relationships from what it is that he is doing. And so this society is being told, question authority. And that's the mantra of the day and age in which you live. And then as parents, we're being told that if our children are in a state of rebellion, that's part of it. Every child's going to rebel against authority. It's par for the course. It's a normal part of their behavioral development. And Satan all the while is successfully drawing out and devouring members of family, taking them under, out from under the protection of their authority. Now, this follows very closely to the first hook. He wants to divide and conquer. He wants families living in fragmentation. And then he wants to go at the very roots of the foundation of their spiritual stability, get them out from underneath that authority, and then devour their life. Now look at Psalms chapter 147 and verse 11. Let me lay a little groundwork, and we're going to dive in and try to cover this quickly. Psalms 147 and verse number 11. The Bible says, "The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, and those that hope in his mercy." Now, class, I don't have time to teach a whole lesson on this, but can we all just come to agreement with something the Scripture says? Verse number 11. The Lord taketh what? Pleasure. Does pleasure mean God is pleased? Yes or no? Yes. Okay. So the Lord taketh pleasure in them that what? Fear him. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him and those that hope in mercy. So God is pleased when people fear him, to fear God, to live in awe and reverence of God, to want to please him, to live life through the lens of God is viewing everything I do. I want everything I do and say to please and honor God. That's the fear of God. I'm living every day in recognition of the fact God's watching. And I want my life to please and honor him. I am living in the fear of God. And God doesn't want you and I to live hiding. By the way, all the people that want to bash the idea of, well, we shouldn't be living in the fear of the Lord, typically there's an ulterior motive there. There's a part of my life I know displeases the Lord, and I don't want anybody to mess with it. So I don't think we should live in the fear of the Lord. Well, when you and I accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we went from spending an eternity in hell to now having an eternal hope in heaven. God bought all of us, lock, stock, and barrel. God owns all of me from the top of my head to the bottom of my foot. God owns my life. The very air that you and I are breathing right now is on loan to us from God. God owns it. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Everything you and I have is the Lord's. And God wants you and I to live in fear of him, in awe of him, in reverence of him, in recognition of the fact that he is watching. And when we do so, the Bible says, it pleaseth him. I believe his design is a room full of people who want to please and honor God. And I think that's a good thing. And I think you and I should live in such a way, not afraid, but we should live in such a way that understands God's watching. And I want what God sees to please and honor him. Verse 12, praise the Lord of Jerusalem. Praise thy God of Zion. Verse 13, for he hath strengthened the bars of thy gates. He hath blessed thy children within thee. Now, there's two ways to take the latter part of verse number 13. You could read that and you could say, man, he is strengthening the bars of the gates. I mean, it sounds like he's imprisoning these people. He's locking the place up. I mean, it must be a place of misery. Or he's talking about the protection that he provides. It's kind of like the family with the little dog in the fenced yard, and the little dog's yapping at the big bulldog on the other side of the fence out in the neighborhood, and the little dog is yapping, yapping, yapping because he wants to be out there. Little does the little dog know that if he were out there, there would be no more little dog. So he doesn't like the little fence. He doesn't like the boundary. He doesn't like the restrictions because he thinks he should be free. But little does he know that is all there for his protection. And by the way, God has authority in our life for our protection. And that's what God was saying here. I am strengthening my protection around you. I am caring for you. I'm taking care of you. Now, in ancient times, people wanted to live in a city that was safe. They wanted to live in a city that had lots of big walls, thick walls, sentrymen on top, and watchmen and towers. I mean, the bigger the walls, the thicker the walls, the stronger the gates. People wanted to live in a city like that because it was defending them for the potential enemies and threats that they would face. They were not there to imprison the people. They were there to protect the people. Now, Satan is a master at coming to you and I in the relationship of marriage or family and trying to get us to see protection as imprisonment, authority as dominance. And he wants you and I to rebel against the idea of being under authority. And he has a tactic, he has a reason. He wants to draw us out so he can devour our lives. Rules, not Susanna and I, but R-U-L-E-S, rules are a good thing. They're not a prison, they are a God-given protection. So what is God's plan? And what do we have to be aware of in Satan's desire to draw out and to devour? Let's jump into this. We're going to have to move quick. Number one, look at the law of the wall of protection. Now, God has designed authority as a protection for all of us. And Satan knows that. And Satan is going to do everything he can to put in our heart a rebellion towards authority. You and I drive by the sign and it says 25. And we say, well, I can do 30, 35, you know, maybe we're late to school 40, you know, whatever, I don't know, you know. There's just something in us, you know, do not enter, we want to go, you know. Don't open, we want to open. You know, wet paint, we want to touch it. Is it really? You know, I mean, what's happening here? I don't know. You know, I mean, just if something is there to guide or protect, we want to kind of test the waters a little bit. Is this really happening? We want to know. And it's kind of our human nature, and it's something that Satan works against us to be against authority or to test the boundaries thereof. But we have to learn, what is God's intention with authority? What is his plan and the importance of it? So let's look at this, the wall of protection. First of all, God's design of authority is universal. Okay, so this applies to everyone in the room, and it is God's design. In 1 Corinthians 11, be followers of me, even as all I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I deliver them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. So there is a chain of command in your life that flows directly from God. It's kind of like the military. In the military, there is a definite chain of command. And when those commands come from someone who outranks you, it's yes, sir, and we move on. Or yes, ma'am, and we move on because of the rank structure. Well, God's word teaches you and I, there's similarly a chain of command in our life that flows directly from God. The Bible says in Romans 13, 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. What does that mean? It means that God has placed, God has ordained, God has given you and I authority in our life. So in the military, you find your rank and you follow suit as to what the commands and authority is given. In life, you and I have the same thing. God is the ultimate authority. In the local New Testament church, the pastor is in authority. In the home, the dad, the husband is in authority. With children, mom and dad are in authority. This is God's plan. This is God's rank, if you will. It is his design, and it is for your protection. Now, no child wants to hear your mom and dad have authority in your life and it's for your own good. No wife wants to hear you are under your husband's authority and it's for your own good. It might be in the heart of a church member. You're under the authority of the pastor, or we're all under the authority of God. And there's just kind of something in us that resists that a little bit because we have a human nature. And Satan knows that this authority is God's gift to us for our protection, and he's fighting it every single day. Satan wants you and I to live in disobedience to the authorities that are in our life so he can draw us out from their protection and then can devour our life. But we're reminded in Acts 5 that it is better to obey God rather than man, and God wants you and I to be under protection. Just like he was saying to Jerusalem, I am going to build your walls, I'm going to strengthen your gates and your bars. God says to you and I want to protect your life and home and family with a wall of protection, and that wall is authority. We will never have God's protection as he intends until we see authority the way God sees it. We live in a culture and a society that wants to live in resistance to authority, and God says, stop resisting the very thing I'm giving you for your protection. To the little dog, stop wanting the fence not to be there. If it wasn't there, you'd be lunch. And to every family, we have to understand authority is God's gift to us for our protection. It is for our good. And we need to accept God's authority as his part to our lives to help us not only for our protection, but for our growth as well. So God gives this protection to us, and it's universally applicable to everyone. Then notice letter B, that sometimes earthly authority will not be perfect. We don't have time to read the entire passage there from 1 Samuel 18, but we know the conflict between Saul and David. Saul was in authority. He was the king. David was anointed to be the next king. David served at Saul's command. David would go into Saul's inner chamber and would play on the harp to soothe the mind of the king and all the pressures that he was under. Saul learned of David being anointed king, and Saul hated David. In fact, one day when David was there ministering to him in music, Saul took a javelin and threw it in David's direction with the intent of killing him. And David fled for his life. As you read the saga between Saul and David unfolding in the Old Testament, there was more than one time when David had opportunity to take Saul's life, or that someone under David's command had that opportunity. To the point where they said, David, let me kill him and I'll end your struggles. And every single time that David was faced with that opportunity, he answered the same, no. It is not my job nor place to usurp God's authority. David's stance was clear. He was never going to take Saul out. Only God would do that. David knew that he was anointed to be the next king, but David also knew that Saul was king. And it was not going to be David's job to take him out. He was going to wait for God to manifest that in his life. David is a great illustration in the scriptures of somebody who honored earthly authority when they were not perfect. Saul had a lot of flaws. You say, man, this particular teacher that my kid has, or this particular boss at work, or sometimes my husband, or sometimes this, or sometimes that. Listen, I don't know who threw a javelin at you in the last 6 days and tried to kill you, okay? David had a bad earthly authority. Literally wanted to take his life and tried to do so. And yet David honored him because he had a position of authority. And my encouragement to all of us in this class is, listen, no earthly authority is perfect. All earthly authority will let us down. They will all make mistakes. They're made from dust just like you and I. They're not perfect, but we should still honor that position of authority. We should understand they're not going to be perfect. Nobody ever will, but we should honor it because they are in authority. And God wants you and I to honor earthly authority in our lives despite their imperfection. It doesn't matter. God wants you and I to show honor to a pastor, to a boss, to a teacher, to whomever it may be. And by the way, parents, can I just challenge you with your children for a moment? If your children are under an authority that you cannot respect or honor, then put them under a different authority. I will give an account someday for the authorities I put my children under. So if I'm putting my children under the authority of somebody who's directly telling them the opposite of what I'm telling them, that's not a them problem, that's a me problem. What in the world am I doing putting my children in the seat of the scornful? I got to be very careful whose authority I put my children under. I should be in agreement with their authority. Now, will they be perfect? No. But will my children be perfect? No. So if I put my children under the right kind of authorities and I honor that authority, perfect or not, doesn't matter. That's God's plan and God blesses that. If you and I get down on the side of, well, when my children challenge authority, then I'm going to take my children's side. That is a very, very slippery slope. I grew up in a home where authority was always honored. You say, what do you mean? Here's what I mean. When I got in trouble at school, that was round one. There was round two coming. That was getting trouble at home. Round two was always worse than round one. What was Daddy reminding me? Son, you are under authority at school. I put you under that authority, and you're going to honor that authority. And if you don't honor that authority, you've dishonored my authority. That's the way it was. By the way, there wasn't a lot of instances of dishonoring school authority because it wasn't worth what happened at home. Imagine if that were the lay of the land in America today. Imagine the environment at school if that was the sentiment at home. For every teacher in this room, it would revolutionize their classroom. Now, what have we lost? Authority. We've lost respect for authority. We don't see it as the protection that it is. And so God has given this authority. It's universal to all man. Earthly authority is not going to be perfect. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:32, and be a kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We want to be kind and gracious to earthly authorities. They're not going to be perfect, and neither are we. And we want to make sure in the lives of our children in particular that they see this authority is God-given and it is for their protection. You and I cannot expect our children to respect us if we do not respect authority. I don't know what your demeanor to authority is, especially in front of your children. But if it's disrespectful, that's a big reason why they disrespect your authority. Our children need to see every one of us in this room as dads and moms respecting authority, giving honor to where honor is due, willingly submitting ourselves to the authorities in our life. It is God-given. Letter C, authority is a protective gift from God. The easiest way to live life is to avoid becoming anyone's authority. That would be great. But for every husband in this room, God's given you authority. To every parent in this room, God has given you authority. To every boss and manager, God has given you authority. And so it is a protective gift from God, and God challenges you and I to see it as God's wall of protection. God has given this to us to help us. Now, as parents, God has given us the role of authority in the lives of our children, and it's not so that we can be, you know, the big person in charge or so that we can be somehow served, but it is so that we can protect our children. We have seen a little bit more. We've been a little further down the road. We can help them. We can help provide protection for them. Galatians 6:7, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now to every dad and mom, let me encourage you this morning. Being the authority figure in your home is a big job. It's a tiring job. It's an exhausting job. It's a job that never ends. It's a job that the boundaries are always tested. And I'm not advocating for some kind of a dictatorship or some kind of an abusive environment. But I am advocating for the fact that it should be clear in your home authority exists. This is the way things are done. Why? Because we have a wall of protection. It's not just kids wake up, do whatever they want all day long, and we see what happens and hope it's okay. No. We would not protect our animal that way. Wow, we just kind of let them run wherever they want to go. We hope the cars don't run them over. We hope the snakes don't bite them. We hope the other animals don't injure. No, many of you have animals that you love, that you go to great stakes to protect. And God just challenges you and I as moms and dads, love your kids. Provide some authority in their life. Protect them. There are some things they don't understand. There are some consequences on the other side of that wall they cannot figure out. And what they need you to do, build the wall, keep the wall, and stay on the wall. And when they don't understand and they don't like it, you tell them in love, tough. You'll thank me for this later. The wall staying. This is for your protection. This is what I feel like the Lord wants for our home. No, you're not watching that. No, you're not wearing that. No, you're not going there. No, you're not going to be with them. No, we're not participating in that. Yes, of course we're going to church. It's what we do every time the doors are open. And on and on and on it goes. You say, I had no idea what I was signing up for when we became parents. I know. Let's have therapy and encourage one another after class. Get an extra donut, whatever you got to do. It's work. But you got to build that wall and hold the wall. It's God's plan for protection. And we've got to see it as our responsibility to hold that wall as a protective gift from God. Now, how do we do that in our own lives? Number two, responding to biblical authority. Let me run through this very quickly. When we encounter biblical authority, we have two choices. Number one, letter A, the wrong response to godly authority. And what is it? Rebellion. When you and I are presented with response to godly authority, if we're going to respond in disobedience, it will then be with rebellion, okay? This is what happened in Samuel's day. And Samuel said, at the Lord is great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices and obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Now, God teaches you and I, rebellion is one of the most dangerous positions in which we can be in. The Bible equates it to that of witchcraft, literally worshiping that which is against God. And if you and I are not in obedience to God and the authorities that He has placed in our life, then the defense that God had planned for our life and home is broken. And we are exposed and vulnerable to the enemy. Can I bring that down to brass tacks? My name is Gabe. I love you and I'm your friend, all right? That means this. For every wife in this room who is not under the authority of her husband and in agreement with him, the Bible says the wall of defense that God has planned for your life is gone. You are exposed and vulnerable. To every man and woman in this room who is not under authority, that be of God, that be of your pastor, that be of whomever in your life, if it's not right, the wall is down. You are exposed and vulnerable. And if your children are not under your authority, their wall is down. And they are exposed and vulnerable. And we must recognize the fact, every one of us are under authority. But when we respond in rebellion, we are taking down our own protection. The Bible says it's the sin of witchcraft. If we are deceived, the spirit of the wicked one has been empowered, and we are in his crosshairs, and our life will suffer as a result. So what must we do? Letter B, the right response to the godly authority is obedience. Is obedience. God wants you and I to live in obedience to Him and to our authorities. And our obedience begins with honor. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God hath given thee. You can obey without honoring, but you cannot honor without obeying. Now, moms and dads and husbands and wives, this starts with us. Every one of us in this room as a Christian should practice honoring authority. Honoring pastor, thank you for your authority in our church. honoring some kind of a civil servant. Our children know if we're in the presence of a sheriff or a deputy or a firefighter or whatever, they'll always say, "Dad, can I go?" And I say, "Yeah, go." And they go right up and they shake their hand and they say, "Thank you for what you do." Why? Because we've trained them, we're going to honor authority. We're going to thank authority. When we're around pastors and preachers, man, we want to honor authority. We want to show deference to authority. We want to have a spirit of obedience. I cannot expect of my children what I am unwilling to live. I cannot be at odds with my children because I have no authority in their life when I have no authority in my own. It begins with me. It begins with you. It's every one of us in this room before God saying, "God, I'm going to honor authority. I'm going to live in obedience to authority. I'm going to recognize authority as your gift to me." When pastor preaches the whole counsel of the Word of God and I don't like it, or he steps on my toes, or it convicts me in some area, I'm not going to get mad and leave the church. I'm going to be thankful that I'm in a place that has a wall of protection for my life, and I'm going to get under it. And when you and I are willing to do that as husband, wife, dad, mom, the protection trickles down to the whole family. Now the family is under that wall of protection because of our honoring and our obedience. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 12:13, "Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." You and I will never be the right kind of parents if we're not first honoring God in our lives. Now notice with me this thirdly as we close. God's premium on obedience. God makes a big deal about obedience in His Word. Notice with me, letter A, that obedience is a choice. Acts 5:29, the Scriptures reminded you and I that we ought to obey God rather than man. God is not going to force any one of us to obey Him. It's all a choice. We can listen to this lesson today. We can read the Scriptures. We can see the biblical account of authority. We can walk out of those doors in a moment and decide, "I'm not listening to it. I'm going to do my own thing. I am my own authority." Famous last words for many marriages and families. But obedience is a choice. Obedience falls under the category of things we are supposed to do and model for our children and then teach them. And everyone in this room and their marriage, honoring the authority that God has given, and as parents, honoring that and making that choice and providing that example to your children. Why? Because letter B, obedience is a place of God's blessing. Deuteronomy chapter 11. "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which you have not known." Class, listen to me. There's no notch on my belt if everyone is here every Sunday. There's no added bonus on my paycheck if everybody shows up. There's no incentive or award or plaque on the wall if everybody in His design kind of gets in and goes forward. So the passion with which I teach this morning and the content of truth in which I teach this morning comes from a heart of very purely wanting God's best for your life and your family. I love family ministry. But it is almost every day of my life, I on the phone or in my office or in the living room, hear of heartache and hurt. And you want to know why? Many times it is because we have gone without God's protection and we have gone it alone. And I just want to encourage every husband and wife in this room, assess in your own life, do you have the wall of God's protection about you? Are you honoring and obeying authority in your life? Mom and dad, are you providing that in the lives of your children? And are they living within that wall of protection? Have you made the decision that you are going to be in agreement with God, that obedience to authority is what He wants and is what you're willing to do? And do you understand that with that comes a blessing? I know we live in a day that tells us we don't have to do anything and God blesses everything just the same. Can I just tell you, that's not in the Bible? God blesses obedience. And there is a curse that comes with disobedience. Now, can I disobey and then go to God in the prayer closet and ask Him for forgiveness and He will forgive? Of course. But would God rather I just obey? Absolutely. Will God forgive anyone in this room for anything you've done wrong in the last 7 days? Of course he will. Would God rather you do the same thing wrong this week and ask forgiveness again? Of course not. What does he want you to do? Live like you love him. May your life manifest every day you live it that you love Jesus Christ. Amen. And that you are under his authority. And that you are doing your best to live an obedient life and one that brings blessing. I'll close with this thought, letter C. Obedience, like father, like son. For even unto where ye are called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Now, you've heard of the saying, monkey see, monkey do. What does it mean? It means people do what they see, right? And I'm telling you, in the context of the home, when it comes to authority, you have to understand what it is. It is God's protection. It's not bad. I don't care what Satan says. It's not bad. But you know what your family needs to see from you? You honoring authority in your life. It's like the dad who's lighting up the cigarette telling his son, never do this. It's bad for you. What is that boy going to do? He's eventually going to try it. Why? Because it's what he sees. We can talk all day long to our children about obeying, honoring our authority. I'm dad, I'm mom, I'm your husband, I'm your wife, you know, whatever. We can do that all day long. But it begins with our assessment. Do I see authority like God sees it? Do I recognize this to be a wall of protection? It's a good thing, it's not a bad thing. It's a gift from God. Do I honor authority in my life? Could every one of us signify that we are willingly under authority right now? I hope so. A person under no authority is a train wreck about to happen, because that's not God's design. You know what Gabriel needs? Authority. Absolutely. And so do you. And we need to willingly be under that authority and honor that authority and obey that authority and be blessed in that life of obedience. And then trickle that down to our marriages and trickle that down to our homes. And we're not going to be the kind of families that are inside the little fence yapping because we can't get out there and run with the big dogs, where we would be nothing more than an appetizer. But rather, we want to be discerning Christians that say, Lord, thank you for this boundary. I see it for what it is, and it's something I need. So help me to be thankful for it. Help me to live inside of it with contentment. And help me to honor what you've given me. And may my life first be under authority. And then secondly, if I'm in authority, husband, mom, dad, manager, boss, superintendent, whatever the case may be, if you're in authority, Lord, help me to be the right kind of authority. Help me to be a God-fearing authority. Help me to be a God-obeying authority. Because it is better to obey God rather than man. Now, Satan's trying to draw out from that authority. Why? So he can devour. So next week, what are we going to learn? How do we draw our children back into authority? How do we go from the little dog wanting to get on the outside of the fence to all the dogs wanting inside our yard? How do we create that? We're going to learn that next week, and I look forward to it. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us as a class to see Satan is devouring families faster than we can count. How? He's drawing them out from the protection of authority. Lord, help us as families in his design class to see authority is God's gift. It is for our own benefit. We need it. So, Lord, help us to embrace authority. Help us to honor authority. Help us to be in obedience to authority. And if we hold a position of authority, and everyone in this room does, then help us to do that in a God-honoring, God-pleasing way. Lord, help our class to see your protection and not to want out, but to want to stay in. And may it be a blessing to our families in the days ahead. And we promise to praise and to thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.